Hey everybody, I'm Billy Nuttall, and I know a moderate amount about Pokemon.
I'm Kayla Cooney, and I know some things about Pokemon.
And I'm Darren Earle, and I really mistimed when to go to concerts, because my voice is just coming back, baby.
You doing okay there, bud?
Yeah, we're pretty alright. It's better than the interview I gave at 9 a.m. this morning.
You got confetti in your hat still.
Dan, have you learned how to schedule things?
Absolutely not. I also, I keep forgetting times exist past 10 p.m. So I was like, oh, a concert? I'll probably be back home by 11. And then me casually strolling through my door at 2:30 in the morning. But that has nothing to
Perfect.
Do with anything.
Great. And you're listening to Delve Into the Dex, a Pokemon taxonomy. That's right. We're the bi-weekly podcast that is adequately scheduled, and we talk about Pokemon. Isn't that nifty? If you want to see any of the photos that we're going to talk about this week, you can find those on our social media. At Delve Into the Dex on X, Threads, and Instagram. We also have a Patreon. That link is in our description. You don't have to donate anything. We think of it like a tip jar. More importantly, spread the word. Share the podcast with a friend. Word of mouth is very helpful.
What's the word?
The word this week is anti-dissident. Fuck. The word this week is better if I'm funnier.
That's like four words.
No, it's all one. It's
you ram it together all
the time. B-E-D-E-R-I.
I'm pretty sure that's a chemical in the EU.
It's also my Wi-Fi password.
I don't remember what the words were.
Yeah, so teacher, I have a question.
Yeah.
We just got out of quote-unquote winter, right? It's been colder for a bit. But, things are heating up again. The corner's active?
Yeah, it's been pulsing.
Well, did anybody scrape the corner during the break? Because I thought we had a designated corner scraper.
I thought it was Kayla's
turn.
Yeah,
that's called the custodian. What? No, we don't have a custodian here?
No, we can't afford one. We teach a class about Pokemon.
We're a public school, and that's called commentary.
Here, let me just
yeah, Billy, can you scrape the corner?
Yeah, scraping away.
Hello.
Oh my gosh.
Shit.
Beautiful.
My name is Eric, and I exist from the corner.
It's a gnome.
That's me. I'm a gnome.
Kayla, it's great that you call him a gnome. He's one of the taller people that I work with.
I just pictured a tiny face in the wall of slime.
I'm short for my kind. There are much larger gnomes. There are much larger.
Okay. Please, no.
Yes.
It's the big gnome, you know, or as they're called,
big
people.
Gnome.
Look, guys, you don't understand. Big gnome doesn't want you to know this, but you could just take all the ducks you want from a park. You could just walk up and you can pick up a duck.
I don't recognize the rights of anyone over 5'7". Who is this slime gnome?
That's me. That's me.
If you could
I'm
just
Eric.
The three for a whole 2 hour recording, if you could just say nothing, just like, yeah, it's me. I'm Eric.
It's me. I'm the little guy. I'm just the little guy from the thing.
Canonically from the corner.
Is this the part where I talk about myself now? Is that what I'm supposed to
do?
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
I think you already did.
Right, well, I hate to pull back the curtain, but not a gnome. I am unfortunately not a gnome. So what I actually am is I am a filmmaker and screenwriter from Grand Rapids, Michigan. My full name, my not gnome designation is Eric Howard. So, I love Pokemon, and I've been playing it since I was but a wee little lad, and the first memory I have is finding a copy of Pokemon Silver in my grandpa's desk, and I played it up until you have to use cut, because my Pokemon got poisoned, and I thought the game was possessed, because the screen used to glitch out a ton.
Oh no!
So I threw it away, and I never played the game ever again. But I played other Pokemon games in the meantime, and then went back to learn that that was just what happens when your Pokemon get poisoned.
Oh my god! Oh, that's so good.
Oh my god. Your white whale was Pokemon Silver.
It really was.
Some elements to dissect quickly. One, I do just like, I imagine to this day you still have not touched Pokemon Silver. Like,
I don't know where that went. It was like a class, it was like the big old fat Game Boy cartridge, and I don't know where it went, but it's just gone. I'm pretty sure I donated it. Like, I actually think I donated it because I got really scared it was
so
possessed.
You're the copypasta. Oh, you're the origin of every copypasta of a haunted Pokemon edition. Okay.
I am. And I'm pretty sure the tree I was supposed to cut was like a Sudowoodo anyways, so it's probably just like, there's probably just some cursed Sudowoodo out there or something like that.
Oh my god,
that.
I just realized I've never heard that Pokemon's name not in the in the tone of a cipher.
Oh yeah.
I did not know what the hell he just said.
It's Sudowoodo because it's not a Sudowoodo episode. Sudowoodo. Yeah, it's the Sudowoodo.
Eric, do you know about the Pokemon cipher?
I guess it depends. Like, I mean, there's been a couple. I've listened to a Pokemon cipher before from YouTube talent.
Yep. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. That's the one.
Okay.
No, we're excited to have you on here. It's been a hot minute since we've had guests, and I will say again, our guest form exists nebulously. If you want to be on the show, reach out to any of the three of us, and we'll see what we can do.
No one of us. It's fully nepotism.
Yeah.
It's all who you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got the form out there, but time that form went public, we had some interesting entries.
Come on, Dan. They might still be listening now.
No, I do not want to have the guy who said, I want to come on your show and sell my anime titty merch. I don't care if that guy says.
I'll take his number. I mean, maybe it's good stuff.
Speaking of potential listeners, this is kind of relevant. Our Twitter account got two people who are very upset, I think, about what we had to say about Zerura.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember what was said. What is this about?
I'm gonna need some context.
It's the furry DeviantArty.
Yeah.
The little dog fella.
The OC superhero one.
Mm-hmm.
The electric dog that we described as the most pointless Pokemon to ever exist, I think.
Yeah.
And we have two Twitter accounts that are big Zerura fans that were not happy with us.
I swear to God, if I get doxxed because I call Zerura mid, that's just funny.
Are our numbers really going up? I'll happily take the press.
It's so like I just like looking at it again because I kind of forgot. Because for a second I almost thought we were talking about Zora from
One's cool.
We had that exact conversation in the episode.
Yeah. I was gonna say I'm like because then we're talking, but I. Isn't this thing a mythical? Isn't it supposed to be a mythical?
It's a mythical. Like, it's from a movie. It showed up. It's in Pokemon League of Legends, and that's like its claim to fame. I'm not getting back.
These Twitter
into
accounts
it.
Are going
to
be even more pissed.
I was going to say, I'm not doing myself any favors. Please don't plug any of my stuff. I'm like, I just exist. I just exist as a voice. All I'm going to say is, I hate this thing forever. Pokemon Unite at launch was the most unbalanced piece of garbage because of this Pokemon. So I will never, never appreciate this Pokemon.
Oh, what's this? I'm getting a phone call right now. Looks like Anime Titties listener is withdrawing his offer, Eric. I'm sorry. I can't give you that hookup anymore.
I think I can handle that because you know what? That just means that the taste was terrible. So if that's what we're talking about, I will die on that hill. Zeraora? No way.
So anyways, let's talk about some good Pokemon.
Hey guys. How do we feel about this?
There we go. Wait. That's the reaction, baby.
Wait, is this like a baby Machamp Rex? What is this?
Machamp Rex.
Machamp Rex. Ooh, that's cute.
Yeah.
So we're looking at just a little stubby guy with tiny little stubby arms.
And a fucking mullet.
Look at his little teethers. Look at his little teethers.
Yeah, he's got teethies.
He's got some big chompers.
Literal ear holes.
Yeah, true. You can if you put your ear in there, you're going straight to the brain. You're going straight to the brain that's inside.
Yeah, assuming there is one in there. This guy, okay, one. He's also got the Pokemon eyes. You know what I mean? Like the
Like he's seen some shit in there.
Hey, Kayla, what's his name?
What's his name? I'm calling him T Grump.
Tigwump.
Damn, that's cute.
Thank you.
Eric, who is this child? What is this little man?
This little fella. Funnily enough, you're closer by saying baby Machamp guy or whatever you said, because the first letters are B-A, but his name is Bagon. His name is Bagon. At least I pronounce it Bagon. I've heard some say Bagon, but I say Bagon personally.
See, I've always said Bagon. Yeah. Like, Bagon.
I'm a Bagon guy as well.
I was going to say, I've always just been a Bagon because honestly, it sounds kind of cuter to just be like, look at the little Bagon. Like, he's just like a little bay boy. You know, he's just a little baby boy. He's my little guy. So yeah. Do I get to like talk about his lore and stuff?
Yeah,
too?
you can talk a bit about what draws you to this creature. I mean, hey, Billy and Eric and I know where this ends up, listeners. If you know what's happening, Kayla, I think, has no idea.
I mean, I might have a guess. I don't know. You don't know, Dan.
So the biggest thing that draws me to Bagon, obviously, is it kind of worked in reverse. So obviously, I'm not going to talk about the next ones, but anyone that knows where this is going can obviously tell where that started. But I objectively think Bagon is probably one of the funniest little dudes ever because, so you look at him, you look at his little legs. So he, in lore, in Pokedex lore, it kind of bounces between two different things. The general consensus here is that Bagon, I really hope people don't all pronounce it Bagon or else this podcast.
You're fine, dude. We got, but what was the one we got dragged over the coals for?
Zacian?
Yeah, Zacian.
Zacian. Oh, it's just Zacian? Yeah. Okay. So, all right, well, cool. Well, so this little guy, right, he lives in, like, rocks and kind of, like, mountains and such like this, and in where he lives, he looks out and he sees, like, bird and bug Pokemon flying, and he's so desperate to fly, like, just this little dude. He's so desperate to fly. He just jumps off of like mountains and cliffs.
Yes.
And the reason that his head is made of pure steel is because he hits it so hard on the bottom of wherever he falls. He develops like, basically it's like his skull. So his skull is like protruding out from his head because he's so like, he just jumps off. And so he literally, it's just this little dude. And he's, I love even in Bulbapedia, specifically describes it as he's frustrated. He's just actively frustrated that he cannot fly, that he just jumps off of cliffs and bashes his head on the ground.
I was thinking his helmet looks like an old like conquistador like metal hat. Like it does give that appearance very much. But
yeah.
The poor baby.
I was gonna say, no, that's basically it. Is he just wants to fly, jumps off cliff, and lands head first, mind you. Like, that's the other thing you have to take from that, is he's swan diving off a cliff.
He sees a no diving sign, he ignores it.
Yeah.
Well, he can't read.
Shallow end, deep end, whatever. He's just going straight for it. And I think it was funny because at least earlier in kind of the Pokedex entries and stuff like that, it was really goofy because in Fire Red and Leaf Green, it kind of, and even kind of beyond that, it didn't really talk about the idea that he kind of would like jump off cliffs. Like it just, even in Emerald, its Pokedex entry just says that it just hits its head against things. So they made it even dumber. Like it didn't, like there was no lore about him wanting to fly. It's that he would just walk up to rocks and just bash his head into them because he just kind of felt like it.
He's just an angry man headbutting rocks with his mullet helmet. Somebody pointed it out to me that it looks like a mullet and I can never not see it. And I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's his little mullet. But then when you actually hear that it's because he wants to fly, it's so sad because it's just, he just wants to fly. He sees birds and he dreams about it.
Well, now he looks a lot more like a baby bird to me, too.
He's got his little nubs. He's got his little nubs.
Exactly.
Have we all seen the animated short film Kiwi?
Oh.
Yes.
I think it's called.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. Listeners, for those of you who don't know, it's a short film about a little Kiwi bird who is dragging these gigantic trees and just hammering them into the side of a mountain. And you're like, oh, that's weird. Why does he keep doing this? And then he puts on a little pilot's cap, and then he gets a running start, and he jumps off of the cliff and just starts plummeting down past the trees. And then the camera rotates to make it look like the Kiwi bird is flying. And then a tear goes down its face and it cuts to black and you hear a splat sound.
You know, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, based on what we're talking about today, that bird landed head first and developed an iron skull.
Kiwi was the first Bagon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Little Snaggletooth was that big beak just all crumpled up and pushed to the side.
Evolution. It's evolution.
Have you ever heard a Kiwi scream? Have you ever heard a Bagon scream?
I don't like how it's immediately scream. It's not their call. It's a call of fear you went to first, Dan.
Hey, listeners, history will prove I'm on the right side. If you ever hear a Kiwi call, it is just screaming. Like, there's one going around right now where it's a guy, like, night vision seeing a Kiwi, and it just goes, and I'm not even going to peak the audio by doing it, but if whoever edits this one wants to splice in a Kiwi cry.
Yeah, I'll find one somewhere. Don't worry, Dan. I gotcha.
Yeah. Beautiful. But yeah,
that's a little bag on.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Also, there's something very important we have to talk about with Bagon, which is another great recurring segment. Hey, Kayla, what type do you think Bagon is?
I'm going to say normal. I'm going to say they couldn't put him anywhere. Unless it's fucking fighter.
Is it a fighting type, you think? Yeah,
he's headbutting. I don't know. Yeah.
Kayla, what if we told you that the last Kiwi bird is in fact a dragon?
Well, he's just a baby, so I won't hold it against him right now.
Okay.
Wait. We know what he is. Bagon, baby, dragon. This is just,
What if that is it, Dan? They've done worse.
Kayla, that's exactly what it is.
God damn it.
Hang on. I have a reference. I have a very important reference. There's a classic. It's the Yu-Gi-Oh! Classic. It's baby dragon.
I had that card. I always thought they were going to get in trouble for how much it looked like a Charizard.
Hey, Kayla, I don't think that was on accident.
I know, that's what I meant.
And now we have Pal World. Anything can happen.
That's why I said get in trouble.
We cannot talk about Pal World again, Billy. I'm putting a moratorium.
What are you talking about? The game's been so relevant for months. No one stopped.
Yeah, I voice in it now, Dan. Didn't you hear?
But, and also, just to confirm Bagon's name, its Japanese name is Tatsube, which is baby and dragon.
Yep.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
They really did just
It's very clear.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Oh, but hang on. Again, to channel one, Walter Jebediah Mueller, who is not on this episode with us, but apparently listening in. Its German name is Kindworm. So it's just a kid Kindworm. And a Lindworm. And I like that a lot. Kindworm.
He just is the ultimate little guy.
Yeah. It is just like, oh, hey, if you're starting beef, this is literally me. This is who you're starting beef with.
Right.
Going through the dude. You know, we have to do, what is it, our content, our episode, our whole thing. Bagon, baby, 2 feet tall, 93 pounds. So this is a big brick of baby. Pure shit muscle. Like,
he's a big little guy.
You just go, look at the little bear.
He does have a steel skull.
I just love to imagine that he kind of is like an actual child, because the whole thing in there is that he's like, he's got crazy neck muscles to hold his head up. But I like to imagine that if you can somehow lift him up, his head kind of just like slags off to the side. Like it just slumps right off because he just can't hold it anymore. So you're just holding like his body and his head is just like ragdolling all over the place.
Also, hang on that real quick. It's entries. One, Eric, thank you. You did my job, and I like that. Its entries are about how it wants to jump off, and they bring up its strong neck muscles, and no, it fucking doesn't. It's got a tube neck.
It's that's what the mullet portion, the party in the back, is for. It's to support his neck.
Way. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So when you pick him up, you shift his center of gravity, which is why his head gets all wibble-wobbly.
It's like when you pull a blobfish up into, like, normal air pressure and they look like that. Yeah, okay. I'm on board with this.
It's like that video of, like, a weightlifter, like, doing a press or whatever with the bar. I work out.
Yeah.
And then a kid comes by and is like, oh, shoot, this guy's struggling. Let me help him. And they only lift the one side of it. Have you guys seen that video?
I have seen that.
Thank you, Eric. It doesn't end well.
I thought you were saying it like that just fucking happens in the gym.
Yeah. Every time. Yeah. Every single day.
Without glad fail. I don't go. I just pay for it.
Kayla.
Random 7-year-olds just wander into the gym and throw off the weights all the time.
Yeah, it's loose children running around gyms.
Hey, if that kid can lift up the 45-pound bar, I need all the help I can get.
45-pound bar. That's half a Bagon.
That's insane to think about now, because now let's keep going back to the, like, 10-year-old who just finds this animal and comes home to mom and is like, hey, mom, I found a pet. I can't move him physically.
Okay.
So that means you can't make him leave.
I think it's always funny to be said too that it's like his catch rate is pretty low. Like, you know, out of all things considered, it's 11.9%. Yeah. Which isn't that great. I'm like, that's pretty low. So I just kind of am that, and his leveling rate is slow too. So he just really is like, he's just an angry little guy. Aww. Like, he's so mad that he can't fly that not only does he not want to be domesticated, but he doesn't want to grow under you. Like, he just wants to hurl himself off a cliff, and you kind of just have to let him do that.
He wants to be big now.
You're disrupting his regimen.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You basically just go on to his native land, steal him away, and you domesticate him.
It's also, if you're the trainer and you get one, it's just like, all right, don't worry, buddy. I know how to make you better. I'm going to fill you up of rare candies.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. You just stuff candy into him, and then whenever some other helpless little Pokemon shows up, you just tell him, just hit it, and he just bashes his head in.
Behold, my murder child.
Behold, my little guy.
Okay, to talk a little more on Bagon, we did cover entries, we covered it. I just really want to talk about the first episode that it appears in, which is called Let Bagons Be Bagons. Which we've talked about Pokemon episode names a lot, but the dub Pokemon episode namers were cooking for Generation 3 there. Mm-hmm.
It was the little control they had.
That's a pretty good argument for Bagon.
Yeah, let Bagons be Bagons.
How do they say it in the show?
I can see it both ways. Actually, yeah, that's true. How do they say it?
Okay, but
but they fucked up Rayquaza.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did they say Rayquaza? Did they say Rayquaza?
I'm a Rayquaza defender. But we also, what's the one that we said for? Okay. Here's a quick game, Eric. Do you know the butterfly from Gen 6?
Is it Vivillon?
Okay, no, there is no second.
Okay, that's how we said it.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. We said it the whole episode. Yeah. There is no second L in that like middle part there, so it's supposed to be pronounced Vivillon. Like,
I've always been saying it Vivillon. Always thought it there. But it does make sense though, because obviously, you know, X and Y being kind of like French inspired, like it makes sense that way. But yeah, I'm a little dumbass kid. What? How am I gonna know how to pronounce that? I'm just like, look at cool butterfly that has Pokemon wings. Like, it's cool.
Okay. Also, I did now realize something. So watching rereading the episode synopsis, I guess I didn't realize what this meant. One, in the show they say Bagon. Two,
vindication. There it is.
Yeah. two, part of the thing in this episode is it's the whole thing. There's a Bagon that wants to fly. And I think it's way funnier if I just post this picture without context.
Look at these little jetpacks! There's a little jetpack!
I'm so excited. It's finally happening.
This is the greatest day of my life.
It's like a little astronaut.
I never knew how much I wanted this.
That's his mega. Bagon needs his own mega, and he just gets
mega
a jetpack.
Bagon is just jetpack joyride.
Dude, look at how happy he is.
Real quick, if Ash is 10 and is 5 feet tall, is that kid like 6?
That is a small child. That's Max, I think, is May's brother. But yeah,
we've talked about him before.
It goes to show, though, how tall Bagon is. Like, he's pretty tall.
Yeah, he's only 2 feet tall. That's a small child. That's a small man.
I really like how every character in this is looking down at Bagon like he is about, like, this is not going to end well.
Yeah.
But he's just, he doesn't care. He finally has his moment.
I think they look optimistic. I've been reading these as smiles.
Thank you for sharing Bagon's little jetpack.
Yeah, yeah, that's all I got. And that's, again, its major appearance. Also, hey, this actually was a beautiful segue, because at the end of that scene, Bagon evolves. And now, hey Kayla, I want you to guess.
Dan.
Again, three quarters of us here know what's about to happen. Kayla, what do you think is about to happen?
It's gonna get longer arms.
You actually.
Kind of.
I don't think you could be more wrong.
No arms? What? Wait, why is it a volleyball?
volleyball.
The densest fucking volleyball imaginable.
There's a whole thing.
I mean, it's a mad volleyball.
There's a whole thing inside your volleyball. You ever go for a hit and then you grab the volleyball to serve it and you just look and there's just two yellow eyes just staring at you from inside the volleyball?
This is, you are playing volleyball with a medicine ball.
I've never gone to spike something and gotten a bite.
Yeah.
You're playing volleyball with one of the big red balls that's outside of a Target.
Ooh, that's a power move.
As an old Target worker, can confirm.
There were balls out there? You can, okay. Hey, we're looking at a ball. We could do the whole, Kayla, what are we looking at? Describe it. This is a ball.
It's a ball with stump legs and an angry face.
What's its name?
Its name.
What's its name? Gotta name it.
Okay, we got Bagon. I'm calling this one Game On.
Game On?
Yeah,
Game On. Sir.
Kayla.
Kayla, I'm going to just spell that real quick. I need you to spell that. Game On.
Sponsored by Game On, the business in Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
We're not sponsored. I'm not even part of this podcast, and I know that. I'm just a guest.
But you understand how it works. When I'm sponsored, I'll say whatever you want.
Let's talk about the little guy. Are we going with Game On? Is that the name?
I'm emphasizing the space between game and
hyphen on.
Yes. Yes, I'm going with Game On.
This is Shielgon.
Okay, it's Shelgon. Because
it's
in a
Shelgon.
Shelgon.
We are definitely not having that.
Shielgon.
It is literally, it is the most explicitly named Pokemon ever. Just Shelgon.
How is it spelled?
It's only got one L, but
it has one L.
Yeah, it's just, Kayla, it's just Shelgon. Like,
Billy's crying. Look what you both did. Although I will say that's only one letter away from Sheldon, so
Shelgon.
Which isn't there a Shelder?
Yeah,
there is a
Shelder's
Shelder.
A clan.
Yeah,
because it's got a shell. Hey, yeah. Let's just go ahead. Let me give you a quick etymology lesson here. Learn about its name. Shout out Bulbapedia. Shelgon may be a combination of shell and dragon.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's some tough sleuthing right there. Thank God Bulbapedia has got us covered on what that could possibly be.
My favorite thing about every Bulbapedia thing that's like that is they have to still put in the disclaimer of it might be, it may
right.
be. Like, go.
Just because we never get official confirmation from Game Freak.
Anything. They just make stuff.
Yeah, it's like the same with Go-Goat being like, okay, Go is what a car do, and Goat is what this thing is.
Exactly.
Potentially.
I just assumed it was like science, where it was like, well, we can't prove it, so.
Yeah, because there's never any, well, hey, as Scarlet and Violet proved, there's historical.
Yeah, there's some stuff that might be happening.
And we'll get there. We will get there.
Hey,
do I rave about Shelgon now? I was gonna say, do I rave about him?
This is the hey, we need you to vamp. Look, we gotta fill some time on this episode. We need you to vamp on Shelgon for 40 calendar minutes. I'm gonna do my taxes.
Okay. I mean, all right, perfect.
Eric,
perfect.
Go.
All right. So this is obviously a little Shelgon. So the whole fun part about this is that after Bagon just kind of believes hard enough, he just turns into this. Like, it just all of a sudden, basically the bony structure on his head just expands and swallows his entire body inwards.
Yes.
And for some reason he gets, you know, he goes on all four legs. Probably because it's heavy. I think, like, that's the thing. Cause I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the weight of Shelgon is about,
it's like 243
pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
oh my God.
He's kind of just, he's just standing there. And so obviously, you know, when they talk about the biology, you know, it's pretty clear that what it is. But he's heavy, you know, it repels a lot of stuff. But here's the really concerning part about Shelgon. It's just that this Pokemon moves sluggishly and supposedly never eats or drinks because he doesn't even have a mouth. It's basically just nothing inside. But
yeah,
it never starves or thirsts to death. So it just sits there. It is just... whatever is inside is just chilling there.
Would we say it's pretty much its cocoon phase then?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it's supposed to be. Yes. Yeah. It's supposed to be kind of its own cocoon phase. But like, I'd like to imagine that it's just extremely painful because because of his typing, I guess. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't. It's so. Or it's just such still a mad. Weird middle stage.
Yeah, hey, real life, real biology boy here. I'm a real biology boy coming in clutch.
Good job.
Yeah. So, like, in a real pupa sort of chrysalis situation, everything inside becomes, like, essentially liquid. Like, caterpillars just melt and then become butterflies inside there, basically. Or, like, they kind of goopify and then become butterflies. So that might just be what's happening to Shelgon here. Our little man is... Yeah. Reduced to slag and then reforged in the fire of whatever is going on here.
Just his eyes. His eyes are the only thing that survived.
It's the fact it has eyes. That's what's weird.
I know. It's really strange. So this has always been, at least because this line is my favorite, which again, we'll explain more once we actually get to the end. This is my favorite Pokemon line of all time. But
yeah.
Well, I guess I should specify. My favorite Pokemon might not be my favorite line. But getting to that stage is very strange because Shelgon just shows up and it's just really strange because it just doesn't make much sense at all.
As someone with a similar, my favorite Pokemon on record is Togekiss, and the middle evolution in that line is an affront to God because Togepi, banger. Togetek, die. Togekiss, I like it a lot.
Just middle evolutions will always be strange. So that's really it. That's pretty much it with Shelgon.
I really like the idea of a little Bagon just like jumping off cliffs all day, you know, putting in the hours, getting on that daily grind, counting macros, and then finally like he feels it start to bubble up inside of himself. He feels himself like start to change and it's like, oh my God, is this it? Is this my moment? Am I going to get wings? Am I going to fly? Am I going to be free? And then he just turns into a denser ball. It's like if the fairy godmother came down to Cinderella in her tattered dress and just gave her something from the return rack of a Target and is like, that's good enough, right? We're done here? Cool. Goodbye.
We're good. Yeah.
Well, actually, it gets worse for her. So it'd really be like if she gave her... cement shoes instead of glass slippers. Just like, all right, go to the ball, have fun. This guy gets screwed. It's like, all right, yeah, try to fly.
Now you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
but fairy godmother, what about when there was no sets of footprints in the sand because I couldn't walk in cement shoes? Oh well,
he doesn't exist in this universe.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it yet because that kind of gives away what's going to happen. But like with a lot of the pseudo legendary Pokemon, which is what Bagon starts as and will eventually become, you have like this awkward like pupa stage. I think the Gen 2 one's even weirder because I still don't understand that transformation. I've put in the work on that in my personal time, but I don't know. Shelgon's weird to me. I like it. I don't dislike it, but it's like, 13-year-old Dan playing Pokemon Emerald for the first time evolved his Bagon and was like, what the fuck?
I do like how its design kind of matches his head a little bit, his original head when he's Bagon. It's just like the ridges spread out and multiply.
Yeah.
I kind of like him. It he's growing on me a bit.
Also, now he can land anywhere and be fine. So
yeah, because he's a 250-pound brick shithouse ball. Just
What he lands on won't be fine, but he'll be safe. Fella.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, he's
God.
Like 3 feet tall now. Kayla, don't look at that monkey.
No, we've talked
about
Grookey.
That monkey.
Oh wait.
We talked about Grookey.
I know
there's
monkey.
Just not much to Grookey.
Yeah, he's just a little monkey. But I kinda love this. God. Like, I just love this picture because he just like, what is he supposed to do? Like he can't do that. He just stands there.
He's just stanced up.
This is Kenny from South Park.
He really looks like he's just like, why aren't you running away?
He's like, am I scary? Yeah, I think also one of the things I wanted to bring up as well is that, like, I think part of the problem that this stage just, like, really doesn't hit, like, I, like, as, like, even nowadays as I level up, you know, a Bagon to get it to where it needs to be, this stage is always just brutal. Because not only does it take 20 levels to evolve in this stage, but also, like, the Bagon line, because it is a pseudo-legendary, evolves like astronomically slow. So you just basically have this pupa, like this you know, this phase for so long and it just learns nothing cool. Like even its entire like move pool as well is extremely weak. I mean it learns protect when you level up.
Of course.
Because you level up at 30, the best thing you get is Dragon Claw, which obviously is a great move. You know, you get another Zen Headbutt, so you basically just get to replace a different headbutt. And then really, it's like, you pretty much just get focus energy. And that's it. It just doesn't, you do not feel rewarded for 20 levels of pure suffrage. Like, it just doesn't, I don't get it.
Yeah. No, it's, every time you get to these, like, pupil stages, and, like, we talked, hey, shout out Pokemon 100 Kakuna, you're stuck with a Kakuna for 3 levels. And it's like, oh, okay, that's fine. That's whatever. You're stuck with this for 20. It evolves. Kayla, to put in reference, Bagon evolves at level 30, and this evolves at level 50.
Oh my god. I would have traded it.
As a trade evil. And Shelgon, too, they don't actually, like, if my memory knowledge of the games, like, you know, in terms of the older ones, Shelgon don't really spawn on their own. It's traditionally Bagon is usually a pretty late game Pokemon, so usually you can actually get it like either close to 30 or post 30, and it just takes like one quick level to get there. But it kind of falls into that where, again, it's like a pseudo legendary, so they don't just throw out its second Evo, so you pretty much have to be with it for the entire Shelgon phase, because it just the way that they're positioned in the game, and it's very frustrating.
You're just stuck with this. What I also would have loved if we could have pretended for a moment to just be like, and this is its final evolution. But I respect Kayla enough to think she wouldn't have fallen for that.
Well, yeah, this ain't the fucking dragon.
His journey just ends here.
Hey, Kayla, this is still a dragon.
I know it's still a dragon. It's not the dragon, though.
Oh, okay.
We're getting there.
It always, too, as long as this isn't a spoiler, and sorry for yapping about Shelgon.
No, that's what we have you on here for.
How the hell does this thing not become a dual type? How at this point does it just stay how it is? Like, I don't know if that's a spoiler, but like, I mean, how does it not develop Steel? I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, so.
I was thinking about that with the first one, even. It just stays Dragon, full Dragon. Dragon.
I think because, one, a Dragon Steel type would be very good in-game. They did eventually make one, but like typing wise, it's a very bonkers type, especially in Gen 3. Billy, it's a skyscraper when you're thinking about a Dragon Steel Pokemon.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a fucking building, and I almost respect the audacity.
Yeah.
There's a building Pokemon.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Kayla, we've also teased. Yeah. Add it to the list of teasers, including the washing machine.
What?
We talked about this, the household appliance Pokemon, Kayla.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think it would also be weird because when it gets its last typing, like when it gets its third evolution, I think losing a typing for a different one would be different or weird. I'm sure it's happened, but there's 1,000 Pokemon and I can't think of an example off the top of my head.
That was pretty much my only thought, yeah, is they just didn't want to shed a typing.
I actually can think of one.
Hmm. Have we talked about it?
Grass starter Borb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're mm-hmm. right. Yeah, because that guy loses flying to become a goat. Well, Billy, that's because he fucking dies, obviously.
Yay!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That was enough of a hint. I was, like, trying to think of who this was. But, yeah, no, that does make sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, though, also, to get through, you know, the content we have to do. Look, we all know what we paid the ticket to see here, right? So here's Shelgon.
Yeah.
Hey, when Bagon shows up, it evolves into a Shelgon in its first episode. Ain't that wacky?
Wow.
Gym leader Drake uses a Shelgon. Ain't that wacky? All of its entries are about how it's in a shell. It's evolving. I do like, just to call out a couple of quick entries, from Moon version, they lurk deep within caves, motionless, neither eating nor drinking. Why they don't die is not known.
Everybody is just rooting for this thing to die, basically. Everybody just is like, why are you alive?
How are you doing this?
That's so sad.
I must learn so I can harness this power.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Bagon, he's the comeback king. Or she. Because they have split gender ratios. They are the comeback kings.
Yeah, they're doing it.
It's incredible.
I do also like Bagon. Any gender can get a mullet. Mullets transcend gender, I get. I don't know.
That's true.
They do now.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Anybody can have mullet. Joe Dirt, more like Joe Dirt.
Jolene Dirt.
There you go.
Can we get to the ticket of the main event? Because Shelgon's entries are all... It's evolving rapidly. It explosively evolves because it's, I don't know, turning into goop to become what happens next.
What do we got?
Well, anybody else before I move on? Any Shelgon? Any Shelgon supporters? Am I gonna get doxxed on Twitter for not
get this boy out of here?
Shelgon?
Bring us to the main event.
No, that's
everybody
I mean,
listening.
Look,
everybody listening has one. Already skipped. Everybody listening already skipped when we got to Shelgon. They're just waiting for it to start. Yes.
There we go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Killen, did you know this was happening?
No.
I'm so excited to gush about this, but we have to do the name.
Yeah, well, hey, what are we looking at, Kayla? Is this...
We got a blue dragon. He's got maroon wings and maroon neck and some accents. He's got that armor on his belly now.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of reminds me of a blue Pokemon whose name I cannot remember a little bit in head shape. But we got a fierce looking guy.
So again, we had Bagon. We have Shelgon. So now we have
Gon.
I thought you were just gonna say Dragon.
No, I don't think they'll ever be that. Also. I don't think they'll ever do that.
Big seal energy in here.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. No, they have had a Pokemon named Seal. They could just have a dragon named Dragon.
That's fair.
As long as you pronounce it a little special. Just...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this one's named Salamance.
Yeah, it looks like they'd fuck that up.
Well, okay, hang on. Kayla, can I do one quick bit before I let Eric talk about this great Pokemon for a while?
Shoot.
Rubbing my hands viciously.
Yeah. Kayla, how would you feel if there was a fully different Pokemon that it released in Gen 3 and is named Flygon?
So remind, this came out in Gen 3 as well?
This was a Gen 3 yes. Pokemon, yeah. I don't know
but
if you said
Flygon
it, but
is not this.
Yeah, there is a different, it's a dragon even, and it is named Flygon.
May I see it?
I mean, I guess it's kind of a spoiler, but actually,
oh, you
could have
done the Skinner
better.
Thing and just said no.
No, I like this because, Kayla, I'm going to send you Flygon, and in 2 years when we talk about Flygon, I can bring this back up. But Kayla, that's Flygon.
I do like it. Nope, I do like it. At first, I didn't
like
it, but I do like it.
I like Flygon.
Yeah, Flygon is also great. It's just insane that they fucked this up so badly.
That they had Flygon, but instead they used Salamence.
You know what it is, though. We've done this scenario. It's Friday. Everyone's got to put their index card with names up on the billboard by 5 p.m. And if you don't, it doesn't get considered. And this motherfucker dragged his feet. And he's running with his index card, and he pins it. Someone behind him with a glass just goes, that's already on there. That's been on there since Tuesday. Fuck!
The guy working on that line is like, oh, wait, you're making Shelgon, Bagon, and Flygon? Cool. Yeah, I'm working on Fly... Got it. Thank you. They just walk away and just get it first. But... bringing it back to Salamence here. Hey, Eric.
Yes.
Describe. Tell me your history of this man.
This is the whole reason Billy brought me on the podcast, because I loved asking him what his favorite was. But I have a really, really great relationship with this freaking Pokemon, man. So as a kid, obviously, I explained kind of where it came from. But I was a big GameCube kid, man. My dad bought me a GameCube. It was my favorite system. He would actively buy me games for it. He have ended up falling out of love with the idea of how much I loved video games, but we would always buy them and whatever. And as a kid, I mean, with all these handheld Pokemon games and stuff, pushing pixel art kind of to the max, there was just nothing like turning on XD, Gale of Darkness, or Colosseum. Like, there was just nothing like turning those games on, seeing Pokemon be expressive 3D models. It was just like pure magic as a kid. And specifically, Pokemon Colosseum is extremely hard. Obviously, I don't know. I assume people have played it, but it's extremely hard. And Salamence only shows up at the end of the game. So I never actually made it to the end of the game. But in Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness, in the beginning, they for some reason, do a battle simulation. And even though it's doubles, the game is doubles, I believe it's just a 1v1. If I'm not mistaken, I'm kind of just going right off the dome. But it's a 1v1 between Salamence and, am I allowed to say the other one?
Yeah, go for it. Kayla's not going to remember. Okay.
I'll forget.
Okay, it's Salamence and Metagross. And obviously being kind of a Gen 3 era, I mean, those are basically the two top dogs of that generation, being kind of the pseudo legendaries and unbelievable stats. And as a kid, I just, like, because you have Salamence, the opponent has Metagross. And I just remember seeing it and just thought it was the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. It just, in 3D, Salamence just looked amazing. Like, it just, the vibrant blue coloration, the red popped really strong. It kind of did its little, like, kind of did like a little shimmy, had like a little idle animation where it's kind of shimmying back and forth. And obviously, they gave it Earthquake, so you just kind of cook the Metagross, like, pretty early, you know, pretty early on. But the way that it would kind of rear back and slam down, and it just, I would remember getting that Salamence. And as a kid, I thought by the end of the game, that's what you were working for. Like, you were working to get a Salamence. And if I'm not mistaken, you cannot get one naturally in that game. Like, it is the only time you can actually get it. And I don't even think the one in Colosseum is a shadow. So you'd never actually, if I'm not mistaken, are able to own a Salamence in those games. It's just teased as, like, the guy. Like, it is crazy. And so, yeah, as a kid, Salamence just always stuck with me. That beginning battle was always so cool because it's such a freaking powerhouse. And it just, I tell you, that translation to 3D just complemented this so well. Everything that you know Pokemon for in terms of vibrant colors and, you know, cool animations, you know, that now come from that. Well, at that time, I mean, it was basically the first time animations were there.
Yeah.
It had everything. And so I was just fascinated as a kid, and it just always stuck with me as being the coolest one. There's nothing like starting that game off and getting to play with a Salamence.
Yeah, I think Pokemon Colosseum, like, spoiled us for 3D models of Pokemon 2. We have gone on record saying, like, oh man, I do love 3D models not doing the thing, but, like, in that game, they're also, like, vibrant and expressive. Like, Exploud, I think there's an Exploud in that game, but, like, all of their, like, pipes on the back of its head have, like, individual like puffs for doing things, and it's so good, man.
it's incredible because Salamence, like, the biggest thing with Salamence is that funnily enough, like, Salamence, I don't think until they added Sky Battles, which was in what, X and Y?
Sky Battles. Yeah.
So for years and generations, all it did was sit on the ground. Like, it just always stood there. So it was always so tough because it's like, it turns into a dragon and it doesn't fly. It stands on the ground. And so Colosseum and XD really spoiled it because its moves that it could learn basically had unique animations for just about every single move it had, which was just crazy. It gave it so much flavor and character that was missing from it for generations.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a hot take or not. I think when in the new games, when its animation is just defaulting to floating in the air, I kind of like it being on the ground and more powerful. Like, you know what I mean? I know it's supposed to be flying now. Its whole deal is flying. But I think, like, it just kind of floating there, I don't like as much as, like, the diamond pearl sprites of it just sitting there, like, stanced up. Billy's just watching the first.
But I love that. I mean, look at the title of the playthrough. Literally just Salamence as a starter. Because that's how it was. I mean, this was obviously, you know, Pokemon Emerald, you know, had come out. And so, you know, Gen 3 was in its heyday because these games were, you know, these games were around for that time.
Yeah,
and Salamence was truly a pseudo legendary that you just, like, really couldn't get, had to work really hard for. And so just, like, welcome to this game. It's not even a double battle. It just straight up is a Salamence that you can murk a Metagross with. And it's just like, I just couldn't believe it. It just felt amazing as a kid. It just felt amazing.
This is the platonic ideal of a dragon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It makes total sense. And obviously, you know, to follow up too with what you said about the animation, the biggest thing, you know, with XD being different from how its default is just kind of floating, is it just, again, those move animations completely unique, but it really is in the later generations, it just awkwardly floats. And the wings don't really flap. It just kind of floats. And it's just very strange, especially given, you know, the, you know, air quotes around the lore of Bagon, that it finally can fly, and its flying animation is just it just hovering. It's very confusing.
I'm trying to find a picture of that now.
Oh, I got you. I mean, it doesn't really do it justice, but here's its, like, from Gen 6 onward, when they shifted to 3D, this was its sprite. So, the Sugimori artwork, which I posted, the first picture of it, is basically what its sprite was in the early games, where it's, like, on the ground, stanced up. It does a little roar when you send it out, if you play the games where they added animations. And then in Gen 6, they were like, yeah, it's floating now. It just floats here.
It looks a lot more frog-like. In the second sprite,
it just the proportions got so off, because when the wings are flat, you kind of realize just like how fat the body is. But in the Sugimori artwork, is like with those wings kind of up at that arch,
yeah,
it just creates those angles and that kind of way that it has such a different feeling with those wings being higher, and so now they're just like kind of flat but almost not flat, which we will get into obviously with Salamence. But yeah, it's frustrating. It's really frustrating because it is not rewarding anymore to own one of these.
Yeah. Can I also ruin this Pokemon for you in a classic way, everybody?
Go for it.
Hey, or not even ruin, but this thing's under 5 feet tall. This is 4'11".
No, I thought that. So when Billy 11. Played the animation, I laughed a little because there was a little jump that he does look a little short when he does it, and it's cute, but I like him a lot. But I don't want him to be shorter than me. That's not right.
Eric, again, for the deep lore of this podcast, we started this off by reminding everybody that Charizard is 4 feet tall, or you know, Charizard is what, 4'5"? I should remember this.
Charizard is too short.
Yeah, Charizard is like small. It is a small dude.
Just a little guy.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, look at that art.
We'll always love this artwork.
Yeah,
from Pokemon Adventures, the manga.
Yeah, from the manga. It's so good. It's just Salamence is like such a cool dragon. I wish I had a better reason for why I liked it growing up beyond just it's a cool dragon, but this is like this is the cool dragon. Do you know what I mean?
It's a cool dragon is probably the best way to describe the 5 of the top 10 Pokemon ever.
Yeah.
Right. Just goes to show you just how the proportions on it are just set up for success, just in so many different ways that you can interpret the sprite and interpret the art, and then all we get is just a weird little fat frog looking thing. And yeah. I think the best part actually about the frog thing, because we haven't even talked about it very much, is that Salamence's shiny.
Yeah, it's green.
So it turns into basically a frog.
It's just like a little fat lizard. It's kind of like a fighting lizard, a spitting lizard.
Hang on,
basically.
A salamander.
That is its name. It's a menacing salamander is what most people think its name is, which, I am
allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. It may be a combination of, actually, this is a funny one to read. Salamence may be a combination of salamander and menace, vengeance, vehemence, violence, or immense.
I love it.
I love how they have a theme with most of those, and then immense.
He's just
fucking
big.
Throw that in
He's
there.
Big for five fucking feet.
He's just a big guy.
Kayla, you can tell this one to Walter as well, too. God, I don't know. Maybe I miss Walter, but the German name for this one is Brutalanda, which is just a brutal salamander.
Oh my god.
And also the name of a Valkyrie from a metal band that is painted on the side of a van, I think.
I thought you were still quoting. I was like, why is this written down?
Yeah, no, actually, dude, this Bulbapedia article is going wild.
I like that it says, I think.
Yeah, I think.
I think. I will say, in terms of the Pokedex entries as well, as it kind of talks about, you know, with the lore here, Salamence kind of bounces between two things. Basically, what I'm going to say is that this is bipolar disorder, the Pokemon. So
he mad.
He get big mad. But so like in Generation 3, obviously in Gen 3, we have, you know, by evolving into Salamence, this Pokemon finally realizes its long held dream of growing wings. To express its joy, it flies and wheels all over the sky while spouting flames from its mouth. So it's just, and even, you know, in Black and White, Gen 5 is just, as a result of its long-held dream of flying, its cellular structure changed and wings grew out, which Black and White Pokedexes were always a little...
Yeah. Meh.
Omega Ruby, though, which I love the most, is Salamence came about as a result of a strong, long-held dream of growing wings. It is said that this powerful desire triggered a sudden mutation in this Pokemon's cell, causing it to sprout magnificent wings. And so... it just comes across, right, where you're just like, this is just a happy guy. He is just the happiest little guy. But for some reason, in Fire Red and Leaf Green, it just got nerfed. And it just got turned into, it becomes uncontrollable if enraged. If enraged, it destroys everything with shredding claws and fire.
Yeah.
So it just,
oh, no.
He's just mad.
It just gets pissed. And its abilities in the game... is Intimidate and Moxie, which are all attack and special attack, you know, related moves.
Yeah,
so
it's just getting mad.
It's just a happy guy. Yeah, it's just a happy guy. And it just gets so mad and just destroys stuff. It's so strange.
It's got a hairline temper.
Yeah, I was going to say, it learns to fly and then it goes, hey, you know what? Fuck you. I got mine.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Also, Eric, I thank you for doing my job of reading Pokedex entries, because I sifted through those. You picked the fun ones. Can I do one other, which I cannot prove that this is a reference, but also to age myself as a dinosaur. This is going to be from Sun and Moon. It flies around on its wings, which have grown in at last. In its happiness, it gushes out hot flames, burning up the fields it passes over.
Just decimates crops. Just decimates the harvest.
I was going to say, one could say it's, I don't know, burninating the countryside, or...
I'm going to say it stands for violence.
Yeah, it's just violence. I forgot to, but, like, I don't know anything about this, but aren't mountainous regions, like, always good for crops and harvesting because of the different, like, weather and the high, like, you know, rainfall and stuff? So it's like, it just lives on mountains.
Yeah.
Throws itself off mountains. Breaks its head, eventually believes hard enough, and then the first thing it does is just incinerates the nation's crops and just leads to pure devastation because he's just a happy guy.
It's so happy it can fly, then it then lights it on fire. Also, cool, the Trogdor reference was just for Dan. That's going in. That
Sorry,
was just
Dan.
For Dan.
I'm vaguely aware. Yeah. I don't remember it offhand, though.
I'm a dinosaur. I grew up on Newgrounds.com and FlashPlayer.net, so what do you want from me?
I do really like how, you know, it's not often that you get a Pokemon that is really helpful and teaches a good, healthy moral for kids, you know? Like, if you wish hard enough, if you believe hard enough, if you put in the work, if you just put in all the effort you can and jump off a fucking mountain, then you will achieve your dreams, kids.
Jump off a bridge. Exactly. Someday you'll fly.
Yeah. Keep jumping. And if you made it, find a higher one.
Yeah, it wasn't enough.
Keep going.
That wasn't the one.
You gotta land head first, because otherwise it's the people who, like, you know, if you break a bone, it grows back stronger. If you break your skull, it grows back stronger.
Exactly. Kelly Clarkson.
Which, the final point I have on Salamence, at least, is that it becomes a flying type. So it's the entire line is dragon, and then it becomes dragon flying.
Nice.
Yeah, because he can fly. Which, could you imagine if Pokemon dropped the bag so hard that they were just like, it's pure dragon.
Yeah, he's pure dragon. Which, again, also makes ice type just absolutely demolish Salamence.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It is such a glass, it's such a glass cannon, and that might be an exaggeration, but I mean... It has great stats, obviously, as a pseudo-mythical and stuff like that, but special defense being 90, and then it's got a 4x weakness to ice, like, just a chill little ice beam, and you're donezo. It's out of there.
To be fair, this is Gen 3, though, so, like, you really only have, I think, one or two ice-type Pokemon to worry about.
Hang on. I will not let you slander on Sfeel's name. It evolves, but you could run a Sfeel.
You just throw a Sfeel at a fucking Salamence.
Yeah.
Get him.
I mean, let's all remember, Sfeel is about, I think,
you
3
got one,
feet
buddy.
In diameter. So Sfeel is almost as big as a Salamence. Like, let's just...
He'll just think it's his former evolution.
It's like, oh, it's a ball.
You're pretty light for being my little brother. Shit.
Shelgon looks into a pool and goes, who is that girl I see?
These beauty standards are insane.
The beautiful guy.
It's all the videos of the like animals that have adopted other animals because they just don't know.
Sorry, I'm still just recovering from airballing that fucking Trogdor reference, man. That is.
I love how you're like, yeah, I'm gonna recover from this by tanking your bits now. The most famous rule in improv: no, stop.
Yeah, no, and no,
me first.
But yeah, Salamence though, like. Again, for as popular as a Pokemon has been, to go for its appearances briefly, it doesn't show up, like, that much. Usually it just shows up as, like, I've got a cool big dragon. Yep. Ain't that rad? There
Let me
is...
guess. Drake, Drayden.
Drazden.
Dragma. Wait, that's just a Pokemon. That's a real Pokemon. I forgot. It's the dangerous game of a dragon type trainer. I don't know if you've experienced this, Eric, but they all just have Drake or Drag somewhere in their name, so it's like they're gonna run out of dragon.
Yes.
Well, don't forget about Claire.
Oh yeah, everyone's favorite Claire.
Yeah.
Drake's cousin who sucks.
Yep.
Also, there was Jay, who was a Pokemon hunter who kidnapped Pokemon to sell on the black market. She had a Salamence, so that Salamence is just a criminal, and I have no other things in my notes.
Great, moving on.
Yeah,
we did it.
We've got some forms to get through, I assume. Yes, are we tackling those two?
We're gonna tackle.
Well, technically, we have one form.
Yeah, we've got a form, and then.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. That's a weird technicality. I ain't keeping notes of that.
Yeah, because we have 1,000 of these things to get through. We have to take whatever handouts we can get, Eric. But firstly,
exactly.
Let's talk about...
Ooh.
How to ruin a perfectly good thing. Just how to ruin a perfectly good thing.
How to ruin your dragon.
This is just so damn awful. I when this came out, am I allowed to just go nuts on this for a second?
No,
yeah. Do your pop
ahead.
Off, King. Pop off.
Mega Salamence for the listeners that have probably clocked what has just happened. I think it's probably one of the dumbest pieces of shit that they could have ever thought of. It just looks so stupid. Like, from his little nubby legs stuffing into his little pouch, because he's got like his new
he's
got
wearing
his little
suspenders. You know what he's doing? He's doing the fucking suspenders lore. Well, I'm just a humble
overalls,
right? The little snap, you know, where you snap the little things in there, and his wings become one, which not the worst idea ever, but
no.
His tail just becomes really floppy, and his body, if I'm not mistaken, gets even smaller. Well, actually, so interestingly enough, it actually grows, but I don't know how they're counting that, but it actually grows. It becomes 5'11", which is very funny.
Pokemon height we could never figure out, because like for some Pokemon, it's like top of the top thing to bottom of the feet. Do you know what I mean?
Sorry, pardon that.
You're good.
Casserole.
My sister sent me something and I didn't know my volume was on.
Kayla's fully disassociated upon seeing this.
Yeah, she saw Mega Salad and she's like, get this shit out of here. We're done with this. Like,
my phone was buzzing before, and then when he came on and I was like, ooh, and then it was like, this piece of shit. I was like, well, I'm not wanted here. I'm just gonna see why my phone's going on.
No, it's people get opinions about things they like.
No, I want to hear him. Yeah. I want to know why it's shitty. Because during it, I realize he's got no fucking front arms again. They're gone.
They're back in his little suspenders. But go ahead about the heights.
Yeah, no, the Pokemon heights. Sometimes it's like length. Sometimes it's height. So
yeah, like fish are length.
Yeah, so I think we're going by fish logic here. Because this is also, it's flat fuck Friday on this guy. Like,
oh, exactly. Yeah.
Let me get his 3D sprite. He is, if this is 6 feet tall, we have problems.
Because I said, is he a pancake? So yeah. Let's
yeah.
See this.
No, his in-game sprite looks like this, Kayla. Like,
I just, it, and the worst part about it, you know, because you could kind of see, you're like, okay, maybe there's a bit of salvaging. His back sprite is awful. Like, it's just,
and that's
just
what you see
awful
most of the time. It's just, oh, right, cool.
Oh, right, no. You just see his little keister, like his just his little flat keister, and it just, I'm absolutely blown away by just how shit this looks. Like, I was on copium as a child because I was just like, dude, this is awesome, it's Salamence. But like, what were they thinking? What, like, yeah, we have Mega Charizard X up in here, and
yeah.
And we get this, is he just becomes like a, he just becomes like a little scythe.
He's a kite. He is a, this is a frisbee, mm-hmm, disc golf,
yes,
golf court. Also, for reference, if you guys have not seen the Flat Fuck Friday alligator, this is just that. It's just, yeah, Flat Fuck Friday.
He's just my little guy.
Yeah. Wait, we upload on Fridays. Hey, gang, it's Flat Fuck Friday.
Hey, look at that. We're celebrating.
Yeah.
The only thing I like about it is I do like the flat wing sort of looking like a circle eclipsing another circle. I think that's neat. But yeah, no, the rest of it's just, they could have done so much better.
It makes me feel like it's a boomerang, too. Like, it, you're gonna, like,
yeah,
throw this thing, and it just, like, loops around, comes back.
Like, when you look at the art, you can obviously tell what they're going for is aerodynamic, yeah, right? They want this, like, mm-hmm, aerodynamic Salamence. Why did it ever need to be that, though? Like, there's just, it didn't make, if anything, like, it did need to get smaller and more agile. But why the fuck was the option to close its arms and basically just, like, transform into this, like, plane? Like, it just turns into a plane.
He seems like he's supposed to be a fighter jet paratrooper.
Yeah.
I just, I don't like where his hands are, if they are just tucked in. Because now he just looks like he's, I think it was Emily Blunt at the Oscars, whose dress never touched her shoulders.
Oh, wow. Holy shit, Kayla, you nailed it.
I meant it. It bothered me the whole fucking time.
What a strange deep cut. I kind of love it, though. Like, what a
hell yeah.
Deep cut.
Yeah.
I won't lie. I think it makes sense. Because, like thematically through the line, because he goes from being so angry and not being able to fly to being kind of designed after, like, the most elite flying machine we have. Because I do see kite. But this low angle, I just see like a fighter plane. I don't know what it is. But he does have baby overalls on it, so it ruins a lot of it.
Blasphemous picture of just his stupid little leg.
His like, side angle. Yeah. This is what Pokemon doesn't want you to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Without spoiling anything, the other thing that really sucks about this is there is another Mega Evolution. We haven't talked about this Pokemon yet, but the entire design and premise of that Pokemon is like, when it's mega evolved, it's able to fly like that for 70 fucking hours. So like, they've already made hyper aerodynamic mega evolution, man. And then they just do it again.
They could have leaned more into the dragon aspect, maybe,
especially because I think this mega was an Ultra Sun Ultra Moon, so they added this mega or not Ultra Sun Ultra Moon, Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, they added this
it
mega
was,
in.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So this was like, they had extra time to cook this Mega, and they just did.
I mean, obviously Charizard always gets a bit of love, but it's like, even just in the way that they took that in two different directions with X and Y, you know, in terms of Mega X and Mega Y, you know, where you lean more into the Dragon Fantasy and then kind of lean even more into the Dragon Fantasy, you know, because they both fall into that line. But it's like, I get Salamence wanting to fly fast, but it just, thematically, like, it achieved everything it needed in its evolution in terms of its lore. So it's like, it would have been great to see it get maybe a little lighter and a little more dragon-like and a little more powerful and able to fly, but it just, mm-hmm, I don't buy it. And obviously I'll wait if it's okay if I can dive into the Pokedex with this, because this is the weirdest thing. Am I gonna just go?
Yeah, you can go for it, because the Pokedex entries for Mega versions, for Mega Evolutions are, like, always, they try to make them, like, super, it's, like, edgy, fucked up, kind of.
Yeah, well, and it's good to confirm that Salamence absolutely fits that that notion. So
yeah,
the summary kind of all the Pokedex entries that, you know, they've got is obviously the stress of its wings becoming misshapen aggravates it to the point of rampage. So it does not like that its wings are like this. Ooh. It doesn't enjoy that this has happened to it.
No.
So they follow that up with, it fuels... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's actually really common across, like, all Mega Evolutionists. They're like, yeah, this fucks up your Pokemon by doing it, dude. It doesn't right. like this.
And so in this point, it fuels its already brutal nature and makes it likely to turn against the trainer who raised this. Because of it, Mega Salamence is feared as the blood-soaked crescent. Anything yeah. and anyone... Again, anyone in Salamence's path gets sliced in two by its blade-like wings, posing no interruption to its flight. This shit literally becomes a Night Fury. Like, it just becomes a Night Fury, and it is just brutal. It's crazy that they did that. Like, it kills, like, it just actively kills people, like...
I mean, that's a lot of Pokemon.
Hey, yeah, man, that's a lot of Pokemon.
Yeah, if you listen back, we talk about that a lot.
Shout out to Drifloon.
Especially children.
Yeah.
They love killing babies.
It's when we have a guest look at the Pokedex entries, like, dude, this is super fucked up. And like the three of us at this point are like, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man.
Right.
We're talking about how it doesn't make sense with the lore.
You know what we didn't even make jokes about? With this Pokemon family, and I'm kind of proud of us for doing it, and I'm gonna ruin it by talking about it now. This is like our 50th fucking Pokemon family that just lives in the mountains nebulously.
Yeah, they're all mountains. They're all my yeah.
I did have that thought.
We have to do equal treats for the people who have been listening to us for years. I do just like thank you, Eric. They're trying to make it look cool, but it is just like edgy flat disc.
Yeah, that first one really reads as suspenders.
Right, because it's got extra space, because you have to be able to fold your arms in. It's just like, what the hell is going on, dude?
That Mega Salamence is going waka waka.
Why I oughta hauga. But real quick, hey, Eric, what's the over-under that you think we're going to get Mega Charizard Z in the new Legends game?
Absolutely.
I'm going to put $5. I'm going to bet five American dollars that we get Mega Charizard Z.
It took us long enough. We've gone enough time without a Charizard form, aka a single generation. So it's time to get another one.
Yeah, Charizard fans are starving.
Exactly.
Well, I can't remember who it is. There's a content creator I watch. I cannot remember who I got this from, but they're like, hey, do you think the Pokemon company is going to bust out Mew 3? Do you think it's about time? Do you think they're out yet? Do you think we're going to get Mew 3?
Dude, it already exists. It was in those little GBA ROM hacks. It would always be like how to get Mew 3 on YouTube, and you'd watch it. Oh my God, that's so cool.
Now that's a cursed Pokemon game.
Yeah. Yes. Well, hey, speaking of a cursed Pokemon, we've reached a cursed number. Maybe cursed. Is 300 bad or good? Because you guys want to talk about our 300th Pokemon real quick to wrap up this episode? Maybe a little bit?
Yay!
You know how, like, Salamence is a pseudo-legendary? We've got, like, a pseudo-Salamence, I guess. What are we looking at here?
Birdman.
We are, and I'm getting really close to the mic on this one. We are cooking.
Oh, no, we're cooking here. This is some heat for me. Kayla?
This is a little harpy salamander or something.
Real quick, Kayla, this thing is not little. Let me just, real quick, this is not
well,
little.
I can't
this
make
is
the picture any bigger.
Yeah, this is over 6 foot. Just
oh my God.
In
hell yeah.
And 837 pounds. What the fuck?
Are we doing the name thing on this one?
Yeah, she still has to name it.
So wait, is it a type of evolution or is this a whole new Pokemon?
This is a whole new Pokemon, which means what kind of form?
Is it the past ones? Is it the one in the past?
It's the past one, yeah.
There I don't go. Remember what it's called.
It's Paradox.
The Flintstone one. Oh, Paradox.
But they all have different names. Yeah. And I will say, by giving you the past one, all the past names make no fucking sense.
Yeah, and they're all two words that exist.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, so you're never going to get this. Good luck.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm going to go with Iron Feather.
Wow, you nailed it. Congratulations.
I think you named a different
gold.
Pokemon.
I also think you might.
I think you genuinely named a different Pokemon, and I'm checking that real quick.
Wait.
Yeah, I'm...
wait. Yeah, wait. It's the little Christmas fella. Isn't that the little Christmas
no,
fella?
That's
no,
Iron
that's
Bundle.
Iron Bundle.
And
oh,
we
Iron
have
Bundle.
Talked about that
okay.
one.
Yeah. I was going to say. Iron Feather? Is that real?
Hands, Iron Treads, Iron... Nope. Kaylee, you didn't get it.
Not yet.
Darn it.
Okay. Cool.
Pretty.
This is Roaring Moon.
Yes.
Well, he is moon-shaped.
Roaring Moon, ladies and gentlemen. This is what salvation looks like. Is the entire reason I bought Pokemon Scarlet. Everything that Mega Salamence wanted to do, and it does it heaps better. It just absolutely nails it. I from every point, for like, and I want to start kind of in an unorthodox way of kind of, you know, gassing it up and giving it some praise. Is that its sprite is angled upwards. There, Bulbapedia unfortunately doesn't have the sprite, so obviously if anyone else is able to find it, but it's angled upwards, so you actually don't see the weird body, the black hair kind of at the back. So from the back of the sprite, if I'm not mistaken, it seriously just looks as if it's a moon. I absolutely love that they decided to take it into the past, because having that natural steel body, like in the evolutionary line, could have easily lent itself to getting an iron version of this.
Mm-hmm.
But instead they went into the past and they gave it that prehistoric kind of the wing style, kind of like how velociraptors basically were birds, you know, in terms of that, where
yeah.
they had kind of those wings.
Right.
It's got those larger claws. You know, the body itself is extremely tiny, which is obviously very funny. I think, like, that's kind of the one critique you can have of the art, is that the body is hilariously small. But, you know, the head still kind of has that bit of the steel. It has really cool eyes, like where it's got the red highlights and the accents in there. I just think, and the introduction of yellow here to this sprite, it just looks fantastic. It just has a extremely great prehistoric kind of vibe to it. It absolutely stunned me of just how good this looks compared to its Mega Evolution form, because they truly just nailed it. They absolutely
The body of it actually looks bestial.
Well, and here's
exactly.
The thing I really like with the body when I was doing my digging. When this thing, it can just sit on the ground and it looks like a frog.
Ooh.
Yeah. It just looks like a little frog.
I like that. Oh, and the shiny is so good.
That's
I was gonna
nice.
Bring that up. The
yeah.
yellow.
Yes.
That's
absolutely
just so coloration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like
exactly. It's fantastic.
So good.
It just they just nailed it. Everything about it, you know, even that it doesn't, because it does fly. Like when you're finding it, but then in battle as well, I believe it does have the natural standing pose.
Yeah,
it just looks fantastic. It looks fantastic. The wings, like the small change to give those wings feathers, gives it texture, which that previous sprite of Mega Salamence is missing. It's just too flat. Mm-hmm. It's too flat. These wings are angled upwards, and it is just a flat pixelated line. It just looks so good. Like, you just know what this thing feels like, you know, if you were touching it and all. It just looks so good, man.
Yeah, I'm a big defender of the past Pokemon paradox forms, because I would have liked a whole game where you're just looking at ancient Pokemon over like the future robot Pokemon for the most part. I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but
nope, I'm with you.
I mean, I kind of disagree with you. I always like future, but like Roaring Moon is the one where it's like, I'm bummed I didn't get that.
I'm a dinosaur kid, so like, hey, yeah, dinosaurs.
Well, Dan, you're a dinosaur king.
We can't.
That's what
we
you
already
wanna
had.
Be.
We already had our April episode, and I can't talk about Dinosaur King again legally. But no, I think Roaring Moon is so sick. This is like you were saying, Eric. This is what Mega Salamence wanted to be. You know.
It's like they had the idea for this and they were like, we can't, you know, we can't do it. Or they truly just realized that how much Mega Salamence is just, it's just a failure. Cause it just makes total sense. The wings are bigger than its entire body. If it really is desperate to fly, it just gets bigger wings and its body shrinks and its claws in the front, instead of getting smaller, they grow for more slashes and you know, visceral attacks, because this obviously learns, the Salamence Lion learns a lot of claw moves and slash moves. And it just, I just don't understand how they had this, you know, they could come out with this, but Mega Salamence existed. Because it just, it truly is like, this is peak Salamence design, you know, besides
the original.
You might
not like it, but this is what peak Salamence performance looks like. Well, and like
something exactly.
Something I think is fun on this too, because like, unfortunately, as a Paradox form, it doesn't have much to talk about. The current anime is airing, and I'm sure they're gonna have a Paradox arc where we can see it. Cool.
Wait, whoa.
Yeah.
Can I guess the Pokedex entries?
Yeah, hang on, Billy. What are the Pokedex entries?
It is believed that Roaring Moon might be a great ancient ancestor to the Salamence family. How'd I do?
So it doesn't make any direct connection to Salamence, but it does say it is possible that this creature listed as Roaring Moon in an expedition journal that still holds many mysteries.
Yeah, I like how they're like, you get the Pokedex entry. The Pokedex is like, this is Roaring Moon. It is possible that this is the creature known as Roaring Moon. I was like, what the fuck are you good for? That is like, your car gets your check engine light, and it's like, hey, something might be wrong with your engine. I was like, yeah, cool, thanks. But yeah, no, and then it's also like, it does the National Enquirer, like, according to an article in a dubious magazine, this Pokemon has some connection to a phenomenon that occurs in a certain region, which sounds like a Fox News headline. We can't tell you what, but something somewhere might happen.
So yeah, that's my rant. I love Roaring Moon. That's my it has my heart. It redeemed Salamence's bastardized mega evolution for me.
Yes.
And also the last thing as well is being, you know, with the iron line personally, and I will happily get put on blast for this. I think they are all misses. I'm gonna be honest. Think every single one of them is a miss.
I like them more in movement because, like, the reflectiveness and the LED panel of it all, I think, plays well. But you're right. Other than that, it is just robot version of Pokemon that exists.
Yeah.
The two that I'd defend a little bit more is a different dragon family that we haven't talked about yet. And then the
Iron Valiant.
Iron Moth?
Iron Moth is good. Iron Valiant is a banger, and I'll die on that hill.
That's fair.
Iron Moth I like because the wings are separate, and it gives a cool, like, radar dish kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think for me, the other dragon you actually referenced in terms of that line is actually the exact reason that I'm, like, happy to die on that hill, because I just think it's absolutely horrible. And I will happily come back for that episode if we have to talk about that, because that fella is inspired by a kaiju that is near and dear to my heart. So to make it a robot drives me crazy. Like, it just drives me crazy.
Dan, if you ever want to have Eric back, the only thing you need to do is find the Pokemon based on Godzilla characters.
Oh, easy, done, powerful. I can talk about Godzilla all day. Very
nice. I will always be back.
Recently, at the time of this recording, the trailers for Godzilla vs. Kong 2 have been dropping, and that's the stupidest movie I'm going to see 3 times.
Absolutely. I'm going to see it tomorrow. I'm like, once this podcast is done filming, I will be watching this movie tomorrow, so I will be seated. What?
Live Godzilla reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Hell yeah. Anyways, Kayla.
Billy.
What did we learn today?
I learned not every little guy is going to be the best little guy. But, you know, that first guy with our first Bagon with his jetpack, that's a pretty good guy on the first try. That's pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that little guy.
Wonderful. Today we talked about 4 Pokemon, and that brings the total number of Pokemon that we have covered up to 300 on the dot.
We did.
And that means that we have a grand total of 725 Pokemon remaining.
We're coming for you.
It's just something about saying we're done with 300. It's like, cool, you got 700. Hey, do that again, and then do that again another half.
It's fine. We got like five more years of this.
Dan's not gonna make it. We're gonna get a new host by
the end. What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
You're gonna mentally not make it.
Oh, I thought you meant, hey, Earl men don't live long. Hey,
no.
If you want to see any of the photos that we talked about, once again, all of those are on our social media at Delve Into the Decks on X, Threads, and Instagram. We do have a Patreon. You don't have to donate, but it's a nice little tip jar. It's a cool option that's there. That's in our description as well. And if you want to follow any of us on social media, I am at Billy the Nut on all social media.
I am at Kayla _ Cooney on Instagram.
And I'm at Durl.1.name on Instagram. And hey, thanks to our guest again, Billy. You probably should have led with that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably should have. Listen, sometimes it's muscle memory and my mouth doesn't stop moving. Eric, plug yourself.
Yeah, well, obviously very, very glad to tag along for this and talk about basically my favorite Pokemon of all time. So it was a really, really fun time. Loved it. Loved getting to meet you guys. You can find me on Instagram. It's just at Eric Howe, E-R-I-K-H-O-W. You can watch my stories. I'm on television, which is cool. So I do stories on television, which is a fun time. You can see my actual face and you can figure out where to send me hate mail because I bashed all of the iron forms, so that's fine. So you can figure that out. You can also watch my movies. I have created two short films and I'm writing some more. One of them is posted on Vimeo, which will be posted on my Instagram soon because the second one has just finished its run through the festival circuit, which is very exciting. So that will go live shortly. So you'll find all that stuff. If you just want to follow along with what I'm doing, just follow me on Instagram. Do I crawl back into my hole now?
Yeah,
No, not yet.
No, you actually don't have to crawl back into the hole. You get to go out the exit door, which really nice.
I get to see light. I get to see freedom.
It's Frankenstein's monster walking into society.
On the other side of the slime is the guest door that we tell everyone to enter through the parking lot. We just don't warn them that they're slime when they open the door.
Yeah, I did think that was kind of strange. Obviously, like, thank you guys for the refreshments, you know, waiting in the room. Mm-hmm. But the big pulsating flesh wall that I think was bleeding, it was a little concerning. I will say it was a little strange.
That came with the building. I am proud of the blood. That came with the lease.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Not the blood. I added the blood myself.
So I also didn't walk into a building, so I'm a little concerned over how I've got here, if we are in a building now, if how I passed through this flesh wall.
That
but
part's
I,
not
I will
important.
Say,
look, here's the thing. We none of us know how we got here.
I went into a trailer that was parked outside of a construction zone. It was just it was just a trailer, and there was just a little guy. Is this guy, you know, I'd probably describe him as a gnome, honestly, and he showed me the way, and
that's how we bait all of our guests is with the little guy.